I would like to ask you to please keep in mind a couple of people's texted Letha this morning, let her know that she wasn't feeling like being here. She was trying to help John, I think, reposition, and she hurt herself this past week. That happens to caregivers a lot. And so she didn't feel like being here this morning, be praying for her. And then Brother Jim Kinney has not been able to be with us in worship now for several weeks because he's been home with Loretta. He's a little afraid to leave her. And I would like to encourage some of you ladies, if you will, to think about maybe just giving them a call and either on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, going and sitting with Loretta or being there with Loretta while Jim, giving him the opportunity to be able to come to worship. With all praise belonging to God, we've come to yet another very special day for this congregation. Amen. Today, two very good men, Brother Keith Chesser and Brother George Barnhart, are going to take their place among those who have served as elders or are serving as elders with this congregation. If I understand Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 correctly, we know that the Holy Spirit has had a hand in all of this. So each one of us need to humble ourselves before the Lord and praise His name. And I would like to personally commend both of these men for both the honor that has come to them and also for the responsibility that they are willing to take upon themselves. In just a little while, the present elders will come and install these new bishops. This is a very appropriate time for all of us, I think, to be reminded of the importance of having spiritual men to lead and oversee the church. The need for spiritual men, not just in the church, but in our homes and in our schools and in business and in the workplace as well as in our government. That is surely one of the most critical needs of the day. What I want to do this morning before we proceed with the installation of our new elders is to look at what we mean by spiritual men. And then I want to spend most of my time this morning thinking about the difference that spiritual men make as far as who we are, and especially what we do as a congregation of God's people. What do we mean by the phrase or the expression spiritual men? The word spiritual, of course, is found a number of times in the New Testament, but it isn't always used with the same meaning. One way that the word is used is as a reference to that which is not physical or material in nature. For example, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 27, Paul contrasts the blessings that the Gentiles had received from the saints in Judea with the material blessings or the contributions that they were taking up that was going to be sent back to those saints in Judea. The spiritual blessings in that context was a reference to, really, to the gospel that they had received. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter talks about Christians as being living stones that are being used to build up a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, the stones he refers to, of course, are not real stones, but they're the individual Christians. But together they are coming together or building together a spiritual house. It's not a physical building, of course, but what Paul calls in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the house or the household of God. Those spiritual sacrifices weren't real bulls and goats or lambs or turtle doves or anything like that, but those were good works, or holy lives, or the praising of God. So one meaning of spiritual is with reference to something that is non-material in nature. In other places, the word spiritual is used with reference to something that is miraculous, that is made possible by the Holy Spirit. For example, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, we read about spiritual gifts. These were virtues or actually miraculous abilities that some Christians receive from the Holy Spirit. And you can read more about those if you're interested in that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Sometimes, however, the word spiritual is used with a third meaning. It is used to refer to something that is holy or godly or divine in nature. That's how Paul uses the word, for example, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14 when he says that we know that the law is spiritual. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we learn that those who are in Christ Jesus have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. That is, things that come from God. For example, forgiveness. The ability to wear His name, God's name. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul speaks about spiritual songs. These are songs that we sing about and because of God being who He is. And I think this is what should be understood when we use the phrase spiritual men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul tells the Corinthian Christians, I cannot speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. In other words, I couldn't speak to you as men who are really holy or really men of God, because you're acting and you're thinking and you're talking still like men of the world. So a spiritual man is that person whose nature really is oriented toward God. He is one who values most the things that are true and right and holy and godly. And for the spiritual man, his number one priority in life is to seek and to know God, and to serve and to worship Him and please Him in every way possible. He is one who strives to love God with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. He strives to be as much like God's Son as he possibly can be. He walks by the Spirit and he bears the fruit of that Spirit. He loves and he makes it a goal of his life to study and to know the Word of God. He loves God's people and he loves God's work and he aspires to hear God say to him one day, well done, good and faithful servant. In every facet of his life, whether that's in private or maybe in a more public way, the spiritual man is one who seeks to know and then to do the will of God and to fulfill God's purpose for his life. A spiritual man is like that man that is described over there in Psalm chapter 1, where the psalmist says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The spiritual man is a friend of sinners, and he loves the brotherhood and has a servant spirit. The spiritual man has his eye, if you will, on the sky, and he clearly understands that the Lord is coming back and that this world is not our home. The kingdom of God and his righteousness is his number one priority, and that shapes everything. And what he does and how he deals with everyone and everything. The spiritual man is that man whose heart longs to please God and hates every false way, especially in himself. Now, let me make it clear, when I speak of the spiritual man, as I've done here, most of us immediately recognize that we fall far short of being that kind of man. So perhaps I should say the spiritual man is the one who is making a wholehearted effort to be a spiritual man, to be this kind of individual. And hopefully that gives you some idea of the biblical picture of what we mean by spiritual men. We should not find it a great surprise then that when we think about an elder and anyone who attempts to provide any kind of leadership in the Lord's church, that they should be spiritual men. Let's think about some of the specific reasons why that really needs to be the case. First of all, spiritual men understand that God's kingdom, which is Christ's church, really is not of this world. It is a spiritual thing. God's kingdom cannot be found on the map. And yet it is found all over the map. Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight, but my kingdom is not of this world." It is a great mistake to think of and to try to deal with the church like it was some human organization. Jesus made that clear when he had to correct the thinking of the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles when they were wondering who's going to get to sit on the right hand and on the left hand when you establish your kingdom. He said that kind of thinking might have a place in the world, but it has no place in the kingdom of God. True leadership, he said, is not about having authority. It's about having a servant's heart and a spirit. Spiritual men understand that buildings and budgets and carpets and parking lots are important only because those things facilitate the true life and work of the church. I don't know how many times I've heard people say something like, you know, their father, their grandfather, yeah, he helped build that church. Well, what they meant was that their father, their grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever, he had a hammer and he had a saw and he went out there and he helped actually build a building in which the church began to meet. But spiritual men understand that God's kingdom is not of this world, that the church is a spiritual organization with a spiritual mission. They understand, therefore, that the values and the priorities of the world have little application to what the church is and what it does. They understand that the church is guided by spiritual principles that are to be found in God's Word. And they understand that God is the one who gives the increase. That the church's job is not to succeed, but to be faithful. So to John and Ed and Art, and to George and Keith this morning, it is so, so important that you five have a clear understanding about all of this. It is easy for elders to find themselves to being consumed with things that are physical and material in nature, and in doing so, begin to neglect their spiritual work. But secondly, spiritual men understand that God's kingdom is going to be constantly under attack by Satan. And therefore, they have to be men who are alert and vigilant to every teaching and way that might weaken or destroy the church. Never far from their mind are the words of the Apostle Paul that were first spoken to the Ephesian elders there in Acts chapter 20 when he met with them at Miletus. Beginning in verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life as of any value or precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. And I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking twisted things to draw the disciples after them. There are times when elders have to take decisive action, and they have to take courageous stands. Paul knew that only men with strong faith and spiritual-minded men would be able to do this kind of work. And so in his letter to Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, he writes concerning these men, or the kind of men that he is looking for in this particular role. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Their testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Elders must also understand that if some member of the flock goes astray, as spiritual men, it is their business, it is their responsibility to go to them and do everything they can in the Spirit of Christ to bring them back under the fold of the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul directed there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Just as friends, do not let friends drive drunk. Spiritual men, do not let members of the church fall away or even slip away without putting forth a wholehearted effort to reclaim those souls. And then in the third place, third thing that I want to stress is that spiritual men understand their role of being an example, if you will, a mentor to the flock. The Apostle Peter, who saw himself as an elder, had the following to say to those who would take on this great work. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, he wrote these words. He said, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. Spiritual men realize that part of their work is that of being a model to the members over whom they've been appointed as pastors or bishops or elders or overseers. They understand that it isn't just what they do in a classroom or in an elders' meeting, but how they go about their daily lives. They understand that it isn't just their knowledge that people need. They need their friendship and their fellowship. They need their personal counsel. And sometimes they just need their presence. Spiritual men are not afraid to open up their hearts to people, to ache and to cry with them, as well as to enjoy some of the happier moments in life. They understand that if they hope to lead the church in the right way, They must set the right kind of example themselves. If they want a church that is faithful, are they faithful? If they want a church that is evangelistic, are they evangelistic? If they want a church that is into the Word, are they into the Word? If they want a praying church, are they men of prayer? If they want a church that is generous and sacrificial in their giving, are they generous and sacrificial? If they want a church that is loving and gracious and helpful and hospitable, are they loving and gracious and helpful and hospitable? If they want a church that has a loving, encouraging, ministering fellowship, are they loving and encouraging and ministering? Let me just close by reminding everyone that spiritual men may not always be right, but spiritual men who work together as an eldership, praying together and depending on God and His Word for guidance, will come nearer to being right more times than those who choose to be critical and to ignore their leadership. So Keith and George, you have been given a great honor. And along with Brother Summers and Ed and Art, you're taking on a great responsibility. On one day, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, you're going to have to give an account of this stewardship that is being entrusted to you this day. And I know that can be a sobering thought, but understand this. We're not asking you to do something, to be something that you're not, or to do something that you cannot do. We're simply asking you to be spiritual men. Do not depend on your own wisdom or on your own strength. Instead, keep looking to God. And as spiritual men, spend more time in God's Word and more time on your knees. Trust in the Lord and trust in the hope that as part of the eldership, you have the help of the other men, and together you can and you will succeed in the work that you're taking on today. So at this time, I'd like to turn the service over to our elders.